So you heard that verse from Revelation that we started the service with. Behold, I am making all things new. This is Jesus speaking in the book of Revelation. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. It's that image of living water that he talked about with this woman. And as I said, I'm going to talk today about the call to worship. Not worship itself, though we will touch on that, but the invitation into worship. And I want to do that by looking at his interaction, his conversation with this woman at the well. So there are four pieces, and there's probably more, but four we're going to talk about today, to what the call to worship is. And the first one is a question: what's going on with you today? I'm going to talk about each one in turn. So that may not be the obvious first question, because Jesus starts out this interaction. He's tired. He sent the disciples on into town, and he goes to this well that's actually outside of town, unlike this picture. And there's a woman there drawing water at noon in the middle of the day. No one else is around. And there's a reason for that and a whole backstory, but we're going to focus kind of narrowly this morning. And he says to her, "May I have some water?" So that may not sound like what's going on with you today, but it was unusual that he would speak to her, and she points that out because he's a Jew and she is a Samaritan. Those two peoples had differences of race and religion between them and a lot of history. And he was a man and she was a woman, and in that Middle Eastern culture, that was just not done, that a man would speak to a woman in public like that. So by initiating conversation, he was starting up a conversation that would follow. And, he says, "May I have some water?" And she immediately starts asking some questions. Why would you, a Jew, speak to me, a woman, and that sort of thing? And that you may think, well, when do you do that in the service? It's not like the music ends and I stand up here, do the announcements, and my first question is, what's going on with you today? It's because I think we do this. We have that what's going on conversation out there, right? Most Sundays, when you come in the door, there's someone there to greet you, and they may ask, how are you doing today? How was your week? What's going on with you? You all are notorious then for staying out there, and which is good. I mean, I'm going to give you the Jesus blessing this morning. It's good because you are beginning worship even out there in the same way that Jesus began with this woman. He didn't walk up to her and say, "Hey, Samaritan lady, did you know the Jewish Messiah is here and I'm it, and you better believe right now?" I mean, that he came by saying, "Can I have a drink of water?" He saw what she was doing and engaged with her. And you all meet each other out there and you ask those questions: how was your week? What's going on? Are you feeling better? I know you've had COVID. Thank you for bringing the tomatoes. I mean, all of the conversations that happen out there, to the point that we even sometimes have to send runners out to, corral you into worship, or sometimes ring the hand bell and that sort of thing. But again, know that I love that. I love that about this church, that that's how it happens. And I would suggest, I had never thought about it. I loved it before this morning, but I'd never realized that it itself was a part of your entering into worship. That as soon as you get out of your car and walk into the building, when you are greeted with, "How are you doing? What's going on with you? What do you have with you today? What's on your mind?" Maybe even literally, "What's in your hands there? Can I have a tomato?" Right? It's the same way Jesus began this very significant conversation with this woman. So the invitation I see there, before I ever even get up, is to bring yourself and your story and your week and your stuff and all that you to bring it into the presence of God, into worship. So it's that almost pre-invitation. What's going on with you today? And let's worship together with all that. The second piece of the invitation to worship is, I would summarize it as this gospel, this good news statement that there is life and truth and blessing with God. Because the woman said to him, "Now, why are you talking to me again?" And he didn't even pick that up. He kind of indirectly will come back to it later, but he he keeps on the topic of water, and the next thing he says is, if you knew who was asking you for water, you would have asked me for water, for living water, for a different kind of water. Because, right, he's there with no bucket. She's the one at the well. So he says this very Jesus-y kind of curious thing, right? But he's started this conversation. And what he's getting around to saying in so many words is, I want to bless you. I have something for you that will bless you and give you life and truth and help and hope. And he's using what she has brought to the well to come to draw water, her stuff, her life, what's going on with her, to make this offer to her. And know that that's the beginning of worship too, to know that God wants to bless you with life and truth and that shalom, that peace, that wholeness, that blessing. And if you knew who was going to meet you here, that God was here, it would change everything. And that's what I want you to hear in this piece of this, is don't miss this, that for all we do, that we love here, the music and seeing each other and getting some tomatoes to take home and everything else, the big thing is that God is here in this place. When we come to worship, we meet God here. And that doesn't diminish the other things or our enjoyment of the other things, but it's the living water, right? I mean, she still was going to draw, well, she didn't. She left her water pot. She still needs to drink. But Jesus says, I have something for you that I want you to just catch a glimpse of, because it will change everything. And that's what I'm saying to you. God is here, and that will change everything. Also, is this where she talks about the well? Yeah, so, yes. So he says, if you knew who was asking, you would have asked me for living water. I have this special blessing for you. And it's so interesting, what she says there is, are you greater than our forefather Jacob? And he's a biggie in the scriptures, right? Jacob, and he's one of the names. He dug this well. This is his well. I mean, if you want to talk about special water, this isn't just no-name well water. This is Jacob's well that he drew. Do you have something even bigger than that? And maybe this is a stretch, but I this is what I thought of when I read that. Again, it doesn't diminish Jacob or that his well was outside of her town, outside of Israel in Samaria. It was right that they would appreciate that. But I think about the kind of things that draw us here, rightfully so. We even talked about it in Sunday school this morning, and it's almost always mentioned. We love the music here. We have such a great blessing and resources of music. Excuse me. We love the closeness of the fellowship and the people here. It's all stuff to celebrate about a church community, right? So am I talking about something that's better than that? Better than the good thing we have here? Jesus, in so many words, said, yeah, I am greater than your father Jacob. There is something and someone here that's even more wonderful than listening to Rick play jazz piano or us all sing music together, or the warmth of the fellowship here, or the kindness of sharing produce from your garden, or the phone calls when we're sick. All those are precious, important things. But it's back to that statement that God is here. And if you miss that, you are left with a wonderful community, which is a blessing in life to be cherished. But what Jesus is saying to her, even greater than the special well that the famous Jacob dug, is I'm offering you living water, the very gift of God. If you can hear, if you can perceive, if you can receive what I'm offering you this morning. So there is life and truth and blessing with God here today. And that's what you're being invited to. He takes a seeming left turn at that point, which is interesting to me, because if at this point one of you stood up and interrupted the service and said, I hear what you're saying. I love the music and the fellowship and everything here, but I hear you saying God is here. I want more of that. I want to see God. Tell me more, Robert. And then I said, well, let's talk about your family for a second, right? I mean, Jesus, she responded in the way that he wanted. She said, "Give me that living water. I don't quite understand it, but it sounds great." And he takes a turn and says, "Go back and get your husband and bring him out." Now, I'm not sure I understand all the twists and turns of Jesus' conversation with her, but what I see happening in that is he is inviting her to something he's about to say about worship, and that it is in truth, worship in truth. And maybe he wants her to include part of her community, as small as it is, given her backstory, but he says, "You know, go get your husband." And she truthfully says, "I don't have a husband." But Jesus knows more than that. He says, "You're right. The man you're living with isn't your husband. And you've been married. You've had five husbands." I mean, Jesus knows her. That could be a shock, but think about what that means. Jesus is inviting her to go get the man she's living with, knowing her story completely. And he's also inviting her to be truthful with him. And he's going to say that truth and being truthful and being authentic is a core part of the kind of worship God is pleased with. He's going to say that in just a minute. So what? So the third statement that I hear in all that is Jesus invites us not to get ourselves cleaned up and perfected and kind of become, you know, the best person we could be and then come worship God as if God only accepts that kind of person. What Jesus does with her is demonstrate to me that he's saying to us, come on in, warts and all, sin and all, come be in God's presence. And remember, I want to give you this blessing of life and truth in the presence of God. I mean, think about this is all before we've even gotten to the service. This is the invitation. Come in, all that you are, mess and all, each of you, come into the presence of God. I mean, it is just a staggering and startling and wide open invitation. And she is going to take him up on that when they get done. After that, we get to the fourth part of calling to worship. She changes the subject, but it seems as if she played right into where Jesus wanted her to go. She starts talking about worship and the differences between Samaritan worship and Jewish worship. She says, "We worship God here on this mountain. You Jews worship in Jerusalem." And it leads Jesus into this self-revelation of who he is to her. He begins by saying, "What you say is true. And God has revealed himself through the Jews in a unique way. But an hour is coming, and it's now here, when that distinction won't matter anymore. It won't matter where you worship, but how and whom you worship." He goes on to say in verse 24, the kind of worship that the Heavenly Father desires is worship in spirit and in truth. In the presence and the Holy Spirit of God, with our spirit authentically, truly bringing ourselves to God, mess and all. He says, when we come into God's presence in spirit and in truth, that is the kind of worship God desires. And I say this sometimes around the table, but it reminds me that our worship here is not special or pleasing or better or best because it's Good Shepherd worship or because it's Presbyterian worship. But because God is here, just as God meets people all over the world when they worship in spirit and in truth. And she begins to, I mean, whether it's the knowing about her personal life or the kinds of claims he's making to be greater than Jacob, to have living water and special blessings, she starts to realize you sound like what we hope for in the Messiah, the one who will tell us the truth about ourselves and declare things about God. And Jesus says to her, "I am he." I mean, he says it in a lot more words, but that's what he's saying. "I who speak to you am he. I am the Messiah." It is a person. God is with you. God is here. That's what he's saying to her. And so those are, if you think about those four components as we begin worship every week, just think about the range of that. God is interested in not only what you do in here, but what you bring to the table, bring to the room. What's happened the week before, whether that's joys or frustrations, whether that's good things or sin, God says, bring it all in. Come to me. I have living water for you. I have help and hope and blessing and peace, shalom. I want to bless you as you worship me. And then the invitation is, come be in the presence of God in worship, in spirit, and in truth. So with those four things, as we begin worship each Sunday, what do you do with that? How do you answer Jesus? How does that shape what we do the rest of the service, if all of that is true? Well, in the story, at this point, the disciples come back, and kind of at the same time, the woman leaves her water pot there, and she goes back to the village. Presumably, he said, go get your husband. Just going back to get somebody or do something. The disciples come back, and they're a little confused. Why were you speaking to that woman? And then skipping ahead a little bit, we find out what the woman has done is gone back and told the story of that encounter at the well. Now, you can piece together in this story, because she's been married so many times and now living with someone who's not her own husband, and because she's going at a time of day that's hot and no one goes to get their water then, they go at the beginning or the end of the day, she's a bit of an outcast socially in her village. But she shows up and starts telling people, there's a man out there at the well who knew my whole story. He's not from here. He's a Jew. He knew everything about me. Could he be the Messiah? Because the Samaritan religion was a kind of a cousin to, it had its origins in Judaism, and they had the same hope of the Messiah. And just on the basis of her story, some people believed. And at the least, they said, well, we want to come meet him. And they all came and followed her out and then heard Jesus' own teaching, and were told many came to believe that he was indeed the Savior of the world, the Messiah and the Savior of the world. And what I want to point out in that is that the invitation to worship kind of has two movements, if you think about a music piece that has two movements. The first is this invitation to come and see Jesus. Come, bring all that you are, warts and all, into the presence of God. Receive the hope and the help and the blessing of God. But the second movement that's still worship is to then go and tell. And that's just what the woman did. And we hear how God used that to bring others to come and see, who would then go and tell. And that's what worship is. It's like this breathing in and breathing out. And together, it's worship, to come into God's presence. And at the end of the service, you go out and tell your story. What have you seen? What have you heard? How have you encountered God? That's more broadly what worship is. It's not just the contents of our bulletin and this 60 minutes or so of a service. It starts before you even hit the doors, right? And you come into the presence of God, you meet with God, you hear his word, you encounter his spirit, and then you're sent out with the breath of God out into the world through your whole week to tell that story and then to come back again. So Jesus invites us, and I just think this is a beautiful depiction of it. There's a lot more with the woman herself we could talk about, but in terms of worship, this is such a beautiful story to demonstrate God's invitation to you to come and see, and then God's sending to go and tell. So I know now it's a little late in the service, but I'll say it again. Come, let us worship the Lord.